I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Welcome back to Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Thanks for making us a part of your Monday. Hopefully, your Monday is going well. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman. Let's dive into some headlines. And we'll start with the biggest piece of news yesterday, and that was one Ludwig Åberg. What a performance he had, not only in his first Masters, but his first major.
Yeah, that was cool.
Goodness gracious. I mean, right there in the thick of it, towards the very end, finishes as the runner-up.
Just made it look fun and easy and
yes.
all of that.
Seven
didn't
under
seem to
par.
Be bothered at all.
Yeah, well, and it's like you could tell to me the way, like, the Lundqvists and the Nance were talking about him as they were going, like, genuinely enjoying watching him play. And you can go, well, yeah, that doesn't mean anything for actual scores. Well, you add into it that he had the second best total and finishes as the runner-up to Scheffler, who, of course, wins his second green jacket. But that's the type of stuff that gets you more coverage, right? The enjoyment of watching someone play and the likability factor that it certainly seemed like he had with – you know, the enjoyment of the announcers and the crowd there. And then you add into it, he's young, up and coming, and then puts on a great performance. And that's the type of stuff that gets you, obviously, more and more attention other than just having a great score.
Absolutely.
Goes 3 under par in that round yesterday to finish with 7 under. So, boy, man, just taking off like a rocket, Gus. Texas Tech baseball, they'll be in action tomorrow. They dropped yesterday's rubber match 4-3 to TCU, and they got down 3-0 in the first inning and then got a run in each of the second, third, and fourth inning to battle back. And then when they got that tying run in the fourth inning, TCU answered with a run of their own in the bottom of the fourth, and then no runs were recorded the rest of the way out. You had opportunities, especially in the ninth inning, but 2 on, no outs, and then just can't take advantage of it and lose the series to TCU and turn around, and now you get the Razorbacks as a prize. You'll hear that game tomorrow starting at 6:30 here on Double T 97.3. Texas Tech softball, they won their Big 12 series over the weekend. The rubber match went their way against Kansas, winning 4-2. And it was especially a great performance from junior pitcher Rancy Willis, who arguably had her best outing of her career Sunday in that win over the Kansas. And that's not a slouch to kind of bounce back from losing a series to Baylor last weekend. Kansas was one that has swept 3 of their last 4 opponents, receiving votes just on the outside, picking up steam there in conference play. So a great series win there for Texas Tech softball. They go to 26-13 and now 6-9 in conference play. And those 6 wins, Gus, that breaks last year's mark of conference wins. And, of course, you know, more to play, but you also beat this by that time in the amount of series that you'd played last year. You've got 9 more conference games to go to make that mark even better.
Yep, it's getting late.
And then Big 12... the Big 12 released their 2024 soccer slate. Of course, Tech coming off a great season last year, you know, winning the Big 12 Conference regular season title. They will open conference play on September 12th when they travel to TCU. After that, they'll face Utah. So it'll be the first newbie that they'll see. That'll be on September 19th.
Yeah, that was, not that there was any real revelation there, but I was just excited to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that was so much fun last year, and then they jump into conference play with a roadie to TCU, which was a – you think about how close that margin was, TCU game last year at BYU. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be hard teams to play against. They're always hard teams to play against, but it took, you know, just a fantastic championship-level team to beat those guys.
Well, I mean, to what you – kind of noted there is I can't promise that every single year, like in unless something changes in between now and then with the Big 12, which in today's, you know, day and age of conference realignment, who knows, but I can't promise in three or four seasons that I'll be as interested as I am every year for every single sports schedule release. But, right. You know, the past 2 years, you've had something new every year. And so trying to see how those sports kind of fit the schedules together and how that may relate to other ones that haven't come out yet, I think is very interesting. The Astros took yesterday's game 8-5 against the Rangers. So three rubber matches, there you go, to discuss today. And for Houston, what a massive outing for Jose Altuve, two home runs. Yesterday, finishing 3-for-5 in that 8-5 win, the Astros jumped out to a 2-1 lead in the bottom of the fourth, busted it open with three runs. They put up three runs again in the seventh inning. The Rangers tried to close the gap by putting three runs up of their own in the ninth, but a little too late. And now you've seen a 4-3 record for the Astros against the Rangers after the split and now the series win. They'll go their separate ways. You can hear the start of a road series tonight for the Rangers as they begin a set, four-game set, that is, with the Tigers, 5 o'clock on Double T97.3 after we're done. Over on 100.7 The Score, the High School Fan Zone takes off at 6 o'clock, and then at 7:30 you can hear the Astros and Braves at Houston, Game 1 tonight. Hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. So, I mean, Oberg, who we've said his name like 15 different ways. I'm officially going off of the Masters call because it feels like that is, if they're going to have it 100% correct. And to be fair, he kind of started out here saying, yeah, it's Auberg in the native tongue, Oberg. But that's got to be... That's one of the best highlights of any weekends in a while from some time now, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, such a unique experience for us. I mean, you know, Jeff Mitchell played in that thing in 1982 or whatever it was. I mean, mm-hmm. just, you know, and he wasn't chasing the leaderboard. And, as good as Jeff was, as well thought of around here as he was, at that point in time, it wasn't a... You know, wasn't anything even close to that. I mean, it was like watching one of our guys be a star player in the World Series. It was like watching one of our guys be the quarterback in a Super Bowl. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and we're talking about all three of these things that have happened
in the last
year.
You're not making fake scenarios up. Yeah,
no,
you're going off of real.
No. I mean, so great. Things. But, yeah, it's been a blast. It's unique experience and to watch how he just, I mean, it felt like to me, and the commentators talked about it. Of course, my sense of all this is that he seemed like he was quick on the draw with, you know, jumping up there and going. Mm-hmm. He would have his plan and then go. And, you know, I probably watch golf the way a lot of golf fans watch baseball. Like, yeah, get in the box, throw another pitch, let's go. Yeah. You know, like, And that's the way I'm with golf. Okay,
if he reads the green one more time, I'm just going to shut it off.
Right.
I can't take it.
Right. And that's fine. Yeah. And I'm not discounting that, but
no,
I'm saying
I'm in the same boat you're in.
Yeah, I'm just not enough of a connoisseur. Now, get me to the 17th, 18th hole. I get it, you know, but it's the same thing you'd say about a guy in the ninth inning, you know, but all right, dude, on hole 8, you know, he walks up there and laces stuff, and he's tightening this thing down, and it's not just a Texas Tech thing. It's becoming a thing, like, worldwide. The people who are watching this going, who's this Auberg guy? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all the Texas Tech and Lubbock mentions and all that he does. I mean, it's just great, 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 great.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Keep hitting us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. We got this on the chat line. Me and my spouse do fart sleeps. I bet everyone does, right?
Yeah. What do they call that? Hot box? Isn't that right?
When they do the covers up?
Yeah.
I think that's the Dutch oven.
Dutch oven. There you go. Yeah. Uh-huh. Probably shouldn't take that to Urban Dictionary. You might get a whole other interpretation there.
Yeah. Shelley said, fish carcasses, fellow American song name. Shelly also said, now I'm picturing Gus giving double rods to his weeds. You know he'd fire back. Is that true? Cursing them out.
Yeah, that's right. I block them. Block the weeds.
This on the chat line, that entrance into Rupp with the whole 96 Natty team, and then Pope brings the trophy out, kind of baller. Yeah, so this is what I wanted to get into a little bit. You know, Mark Pope hired over at Kentucky, and that whole Kentucky job search obviously rounded out. Now they have to go into, okay, well, how do they basically replace the entire team, because all the recruits and other guys are most of them are leaving. You would be safe to wonder how many of those wind up on Arkansas's roster with Calipari over there. But from the options, and to be fair, I didn't see an option that Kentucky fans, at least on social media, liked other than Hurley. And you weren't getting Hurley. Like, he was always going to stay at UConn. And maybe the other one would be Billy Donovan that was thrown out. I didn't see good or bad from fan reaction either way. But, you know, sometimes, and we've had this discussion before, on social media and, you know, just chat lines, whatever, the more vocal doesn't always represent the whole, right? Man, you talk about, sometimes it does, but just not always. For Mark Pope, his entrance, and this doesn't mean anything for the support he's going to get, but the entrance was incredible. So comes out on a bus. Like Shelley said, the 96 Natty team comes out, and then he's the last one off, and he's holding the championship that they won. He holds up the trophy, and then in the shot that I saw, it expands, and it is in Rupp just covered wall to wall. And what I saw, like, they had to push back the timing of it because there were still people they were trying to funnel in through lines and trying to get in to see the new coach. So I'm not suddenly a Kentucky fan or anything like that. Don't get that mixed up. But that was pretty sweet. That's pretty awesome.
Well, and so when we talk about them as a blue blood, there it is. There's the difference. You know, like, there it is. I mean, nobody else, but we're not doing that. We're not even close. We're not a 15th of that in terms of the invitation. I mean, the new coach announcements and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, in the end.
And that's not a shot at this place.
No.
That is.
Yes.
You are a part of the 98%.
Yes.
Of schools across America.
You absolutely.
I mean, Arkansas just announced Calipari, and they were, I mean, not flat by any means, but same thing. I mean, they weren't going wall to wall in there over in Fayetteville.
Mm-mm. Kentucky, you know, it'd be interesting to see Kansas would probably gin that up as well. I mean, for their next hire.
I would think so.
Yeah,
I would think so.
Those places that like that are basketball first.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not many of them, but Duke would be that way probably. Although Duke's kind of different just because it's private school. Well, it's private school, and they don't have a 18,000 seat arena.
I was
going
to say, Duke feels cheating, but at the same time, I would expect them to. But you were like, can you believe Duke filled up their arena for
smaller? Yeah, smaller school, smaller enrollment, all that kind of stuff. So, yes, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's not a perfect analogy, but, you know, it's And North Carolina is probably too well-rounded athletically to put them in that same group, but, you know, they might. I don't know. That'd be interesting. Would they gin up that same sort of heat for a coaching announcement conference?
I'd have to go back because I really didn't pay attention to it when, you know, Hubert Davis took over. But that was also like you knew who that was taking over pretty much the whole time. And I guess you still have to have the presser and the release, but it's not like what Kentucky just kind of went through process-wise and you really weren't sure who it was going to be and it was a true coaching search instead of a coaching replacement. But, I mean, we had that a couple years ago, so I'd have to go look back and see, you know, with when you had the initial introductory press conference of Hubert Davis – if it was the same way. And you could do the same thing with Duke, with Shire, because they just replaced, I mean, one of the greatest coaches of all time who'd also been at his university forever.
Yeah, no, that's it. It just speaks to the importance of that sport to their culture.
Mm-hmm. Be interested to see what BYU, I mean, I haven't heard anything. I haven't looked for it. But that's what affects you at this point, right? Now it's because, I mean, not you specifically, Texas Tech, but obviously Big 12. And for BYU, you're in an important swing because your first toes dipped into the water, a Big 12 play, was an overwhelming success in a conference that is just a brutalizing one and a cannibalistic one. Well, now you got to find someone that can repeat that success because Mark Pope was there for a little bit. I mean, it wasn't like a decade, but was there enough to establish what he wanted and where BYU had an identity? And I can't speak to say if he was getting the exact guys he wanted in recruiting or if it was more of a we're playing this way because we have to play this way, which if that is the case, then that's a credit, you know, to him as a coach. But like, what does BYU do next?
Ooh, yeah, that'll be interesting. And you're talking about as a coaching hire,
yes.
Yeah.
Because then you have to go. I mean, they got some of their main players like Hall and Khalifa in the portal right now that they're also trying to. I say they, but who is they right now that's trying to keep them there as far as needing a coach? But
you know, it's such a what they did last year was such a unique approach. Uh-huh. It feels like a very modern approach to basketball, very analytics friendly, and he, you know, and by the way, Pope says he's doubling down on that at Kansas. Kentucky, mm-hmm. we're gonna share the ball even more, and we're gonna shoot even more threes. We're gonna lead the, you know, and so like, hey guards, hey shooters, come to us. I would, and of course we talked about this on Friday. That the coach as an LDS, as a member of the, you know, Latter-day Saints Church, has to that's a priority there, mm-hmm. There's Barrett Peary was on their list, but I would be surprised maybe if they don't hire from within.
That's just a good point.
Yeah.
I haven't seen. I'm sure it's out there. I haven't seen what kind of staff he brought over with him just mm-hmm. yet. You know, you would think if you were on that staff. If he liked you, you'd be pretty excited to go over there too.
Sure.
You know, unless you were the unless one like, the hey, guy. You want to be the head guy.
Sure.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Monday, it's Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Foreman behind the glass taking care of us, the Rangers baseball, as they start a series in Detroit. You can also hear, the high school fan zone starting at 6. My eyes are not working. 6 o'clock. Over on the score, coaches from Coronado, Estacado, Lubbock High, and Monterey will join Garrett Luft here in the First United Bank studio hour and a half long program for that. And then after that, you can hear the Astros as they start a series at home against the Braves. Of course, the Astros and Rangers just finishing up their second series of the year against each other. The Astros come out on top, winning yesterday 8-5 in the rubber match. Hey, you can hit us up on the Exploring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions. You can also call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. If you call that number, Ben will tell you his favorite April birthday. Other than his. You can't say his.
This Jeff Passan just tweeted this 7 minutes ago, but John Sterling, the voice of the New York Yankees for the last 35 years, is retiring effective immediately after calling more than 5,000 Yankee games. And that's never a good thing.
Yeah, effective immediately.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I don't. Hopefully he's, you know, that's not a health thing, but you would think it's a health thing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been calling them since the late 80s.
Yeah,
he's the guy.
And it's like they're not going to like pry on that.
But it just makes you somebody's
curious and stuff like that.
Hopefully, okay. But yeah, he's the Yankees win. He's that guy.
That was pretty good. You want to go do it?
Little vibrato. Yeah, you know, call there.
Hey, call Gus right now, and he will do that for you.
Yes, absolutely.
You won't miss
it. Call Borman, and he'll imitate me doing that.
Red Raider baseball. Disappointing result over the weekend, certainly. Mm-hmm. Let's go through this by day, and so let's start on the good side of this, which was Friday night. Great performance on the mound, mm-hmm. and not just by one guy, but your little trio of Free and Rogers and Sanders were lights out, and then offensively, you put up your highest total in the series. What did you think of Ryan Free?
It was good. And you know, I think when we talked about it the other day, I felt like he would be he would have an opportunity to be loose and good if he wasn't tipping pitches. Mm-hmm. You know, that maybe that was gonna click some things, and maybe what we had seen of him suddenly getting hit really hard the couple weeks prior to that was maybe that was gonna get cleaned up, because he wasn't, you know, whatever he was doing that told everyone that they could eliminate a pitch or whatever got fixed. And sure enough, he right back in the saddle and threw the ball well and gave them an opportunity to win.
You go from there to Saturday, and you lose 4-2, then you lose 4-3 offensively. It just, to me, it seemed like the same issues you've seen at times from the offensive side, which, especially on the road, situationally, just haven't been able to take advantage when you've had opportunities. And especially you go and look at how you ended the game yesterday, where you're down 4-3, and it had been a stalemate of zeros back and forth from the sixth inning on. And you start off the inning by getting a couple on, going, okay, well, surely you can get one out of this. I mean, you'd like two or more, but surely you can get at least one.
Well, sure.
And then hopefully hang another zero, and then we'll see what happens here in Fort Worth from there on.
You get 3, 4, 5 up with first and second, no outs. And, you know, Bazell's probably the best equipped hitter to hit in that spot in terms of being able to, you know, probably be productive against whatever style is out there on the mound. And he gets down 0-2 and then smokes a ball right at the right fielder.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, that's just a tough break, because if that's over there or over there, it's a double and drives in two, and, you know, the whole game turns. But then the next two at-bats are just nothing burgers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pop up to shallow center, strike out frozen pizza, and that's it. These are Jamie's numbers, but – Clint, I mean, there's nothing to even talk about when I say the number 8 for 72. These guys are 8 for 72 with runners in scoring position in the 9 road Big 12 games. I mean, that's just not even, you know, that's just not. And they got 4 hits. 4 of those came on Friday night.
Yeah.
Like it was a 4 for 15 day or 4 for 14. Again, I'm talking about batting average with runners in scoring position on second and third. And so it's a, you know, there's, you really can't even carry on a conversation that goes much further than that. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, I don't even know what the comp is. It'd be like shooting 12% from 3-point line every time you go on the road or something in a way that's like,
you know, how does it disappear? And is this just, I mean, it's hard to just say, like, blame it on youth, but you do have youth on the team. But, like, how do you zero in on what an issue is like that when you know you have talent and you know you can do it? Like, you know you can take advantage in those opportunities. Hey, but on the road, it just vanishes.
And, you're right. And if you said it was a bunch of dudes, yeah, like a bunch of youth that had never been on the road before. But yeah. Can't say that about Cash, Bazell.
Yeah.
Green. I don't know what the answer is. We sat here on, I don't know, Friday going into the weekend, and I guess I was right, unfortunately, when I said
it's always fun to say
it can't be worse. It can't be worse than 2 for 37. And we, you know, we hit one, whatever it was, to 140 or something this weekend. And so we did, our numbers did improve a little bit. But, you know, we went from hitting 050 something with runners in scoring position in Big 12 play on the road to now hitting 111. So, I mean, it's improbable. It's completely improbable. It's hard to do with a team that's otherwise not hitting 111. But you get a runner on second and third, and they're just not getting it done, man.
And I'm not trying to put salt in the wound or anything like that, but something we haven't talked about is because this has been a road trip conversation and it's been road woes. But not only, Gus, do you have Arkansas tomorrow night and for two rounds, but then even though it's back at home in a separate part of the conversation, we haven't really talked about that you're welcoming in maybe the best team in the Big 12 this weekend.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I just Karate Kid some sort of flying bug. It was a gift to you. It was a new pet for you.
Gift for it.
His name was
it
Buggy.
Can go live in the little weeds that give Mother Nature the middle finger.
We have been infested here on Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com.
You're dead now.
Full circle,
12D.
Guys. That's right.
That was 10C.
I liked your form. Your form kind of looked like your calf was cramping.
10 and a half.
Oh, look, he's still moving. You gotta hold. You gotta do this.
That dude was calling his boys for a decon party, and I said, no.
You gotta get some range and go back.
All right. What are you easy. Smashing beer cans in the parking lot? Or are you
making sure he's
stepping
dead?
On a 1/1,000th of an ounce?
I'm breaking my shin.
Bug.
This is
bug.
My spot.
Yeah. That bug is no longer with us. There was a bug harmed in the making of this episode of Tech Talk.
You know the rules.
Confirmed. Scott. Now you know who's in charge.
That's right. Glenn Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass. We got this question, Gus.
Mm-hmm.
According to 24/7 2024 basketball recruiting, Texas Tech is not even listed.
Well, we don't have anyone signed yet.
Is Coach having a hard time recruiting, or
no.
Is he going to surprise us?
He's going to surprise us.
There are more, and now, and if this is, I guess, freshman, maybe a different conversation, but where you're looking right now is you're looking in the transfer portal, right?
100%.
And there are way more that are uncommitted than there are committed. And again, we've had this discussion before, and I'm not dogging on the question at all. We are in a new era of college basketball, and over the next couple of years, we're going to have this sort of unease as you remake rosters. The good news is, in the Big 12, you've held together more of your core than most of the rest of the conference has. And by your core, I mean the guys you are planning that have eligibility coming back that had production this year and are coming back next year. Now, that being said, the portal is still open in this window. But as of right now, the likes of Darian Williams, Devin Cambridge coming back, McMillan, Kerwin Walton, that's a pretty good group to bring back. Also, not mentioning Emily Yolajo, right? When you look at the Big 12, what everybody else has done, the ones who've really done damage so far, quote unquote damage, Kansas, not a shocker there. Iowa State's had a lot of movement. Not a lot of shock there with what I think is being built by Olzelberger. UCF has had a couple commits, but they still have way more that they're trying to replace that have exited or graduated. TCU, they have two commits. They have way more that they're trying to replace that have left or graduated, and I don't think that they were – I don't think they improved what they lost there for TCU, so that's out to be it. Other than that, very limited movement in the conference. – And then you're a part of, let's see, 1, 2, 3. 8 other schools that haven't done anything else either. And that's not saying that the one that that Houston has got or the two that Utah have got are just shifting the conference where they're set and you're not, right? When you're trying to play catch-up. Or Kansas State, for that matter, who has a couple of commits. They still have a ton of work to do. No one in the conference is set right now roster-wise. Or completely done. And you're seeing multiple every day until this, at least as of now, until the portal is up, enter their names in the portal of good commits to have. And there's guys you are talking with. There's guys you are recruiting. You are not going to be screwed next year. But it is a patience game. And that is a horrible place to be in as a fan, right? Because you're out of the know. And you don't know who they're talking to for the most part and who they are. And they've already had some guys come on campus, and they'll have more. I'll say this, last year, and this was without having the benefit of already being set, but batting average, here you go, Gus.
Okay.
Shooting percentage,
yes,
if you
sir.
Will.
I like it.
In the recruiting game, your coach had a pretty good batting average, pretty good shooting percentage of getting guys on campus that they wanted and then committing. And that was a big reason of why you ended up being a tournament team this
sure.
year. So, again, I'm not dogging on the question. I don't want it to sound like that at all. But we are having to get used to what college basketball is and what college athletics is, for that matter. But I think with a smaller roster, college basketball feels the worst. And I also feel like your NIL numbers are more out in the open in basketball than they are. I mean, they're not all the way out in the open, but compared to football, when you have so many positions, and then baseball, which, you know, just doesn't have as many numbers to throw around that you do, that basketball does.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more movement, and it feels, I guess, there's less traction whenever you're looking at the roster. So it's an uneasy feeling, but there's nothing to be just concerned or nauseous about yet. Now, we'll revisit this conversation in a month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They get all the benefit of the doubt. Part of On3's ranking going to have to do with there's no high school kids in this class. But it's, you know, at this point in the game, if you're not picking from the very top of the high school class, which McCaslin's probably not because he got there a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we had high school kids in for visits this year during the season, but those kids were like juniors. They're class of 25 guys. And so –
And by the way, not every single – there's some high school kids out there that are going to college next year that haven't committed. So that's not all the way closed off yet either. But I think more of your work – year after year is going to be in the portal.
They had visits in. They've got names. They're the fact that it's not all out there is not a cause for panic.
Mm-hmm.
They've got money to spend, NIL money. I mean, I just
now that being said,
wouldn't panic.
This is my get off my lawn thing. I hate the way that you have to deal with as a fan, though, too. Now, it is just
absolutely,
it makes your stomach turn. And I say we'll have to get used to it. I don't know if we'll ever fully get used to, especially when we've watched years and years and years of how you traditionally recruited and
oh sure
uh, Even with Tech being one that was kind of in the forefront of using transfer portals immediately.
My advice is root for uniforms before players.
Yeah.
Not to say you can't root for any players, but focus on the uniform.
It's hard to just reboot how you watch this as a fan.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Well, speaking of transfer portal talk, it is Ask Tech Talk brought to you by Visual Edge IT. Get your questions in. A couple big ones from Texas today. Tyrese Hunter and Dylan Mitchell.
On their way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of bona fide studs there.
Sure.
Of course, we
makes
we,
me wonder what's going on at I would say it this way, makes me wonder what's going on at Ole Miss.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, what's Beard up to with those two going into the portal?
I also saw now just rumblings today. I don't know. I guess we'll find out some Twitter chatter of Pop Isaacs possibly over to A&M.
I saw that too.
Which would be interesting.
I don't know the credibility of the source.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. But if it was true, and that is where he goes, well, you'll see him again.
Yeah,
next year.
See him on the Black Friday.
We got this.
Go shopping and then go to the ball game.
Yeah. We got this question on the chat line for Ask Tech Talk. Dr. G, what does Tad sacrifice if in a position to win in Fayetteville against the need for a conference series win this weekend?
What does Tad sacrifice? If in a, I don't think.
I guess what would he like, what would he burn?
How far would he go? I think if they get to a chance to play with a lead somewhere. He will go for it, and what I mean is, you know, we would see Josh Sanders if we're playing with the lead, if we're in a game, that he would extend Josh Sanders and Parker Hutera. Those two guys would be in play, whereas this past week against Abilene Christian, they were not in play.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I think the top of the bullpen will be in play if they get a chance in one of those games. Now, if they're behind 5-1 in the fifth in both of those games, those guys might just – it might just be, Joe Blow, you need an inning, that kind of a deal. But if you're in a game to win it, he'll be all in.
Gus, why hasn't Parrish been pitching? I thought he was our closer.
Well, Tim mentioned last week at his
coach's show
that he said for him to have not pitched on a weekend, then you know that there's probably something going on with him that's sort of like tendonitis type thing or something. And that's not an exact quote, but I think what he's saying is he's, you know, that. They're not talking about we've lost him for the year or anything by any stretch, but it's probably, hey, we had to let something cool off. Mm-hmm. Elbow, shoulder. I mean, he's got a history of elbow problems, and I don't know what it is, but he may need, you know, he may need it a couple weeks, and I think that's where we are. But, yeah, this is – I wouldn't say he was our closer.
More of he was one of the key
relievers.
He was
one of the late inning. Yeah, he was a high-leverage guy, and it's really been pretty good this year, other than the Sunday game against Texas. Mm-hmm. And really that's, you know, the fact that these guys have, that you look at them statistically and you go, man, they're not that bad. You know, like these numbers aren't bad. What's the story here? And, you know, because they're a 500 team and yet, but you know, it's sort of like his one game, his one bad game is sort of case in point here. His one bad game cost him, you know, cost him a game, cost him a series, and because you know who the in conference play, Texas Tech in conference play, third in the conference in ERA, in conference games through 18 conference games, fourth in the league in batting average, and so you see that and you're going, huh, you know, and the defense is ninth out of 13. But it's like that, those, you know, that, so you see these stats and you go, hey, and that doesn't line up with a 9-9 record. Well, it's because they found a way here to not hit in this game or make a key error in that game or, you know, and I don't want to say they find a way to, they're finding ways to lose, but when they've lost games, they've found a different way to lose in a way that you go, well, you know, and so we start to look at, well, they're 3-6 on the road in conference play. What's the deal? Well, they're 8-72, literally batting .111 on the road with runners in scoring position in Big 12 play. You know, and so those kind of things, just like there's this one little category, because you don't look at it and go, oh, they clearly need to fire the pitching coach. You know, or they clearly need to, you know, like, no, they don't. They need to, like, either that or 10 other schools need to fire their pitching coaches too. But, you know, there's, you got the team right below them in ERA with an 11-4 record, and you're sitting there at 9-9.
Well, and you're staying away from, you know, using the cliche, which is accurate from, you know, from time to time, is they're finding different ways to lose. And mine is trying to stay away from the cop-out answers. You just haven't had consistency in all departments of the game. But at the same time, just like they're finding ways to lose, lacking consistency, just calling it that, isn't inaccurate.
Bill James had a thing called, sort of, I think it was his Pythagorean theorem of baseball or whatever, but it was basically the idea that over the course of 162 games, you could take the amount of runs a team scores and put it with the number of runs a team allows, and the teams that are in first place are considerably past, you know, a lot more runs scored than allowed, and then the teams that are .500 are sort of hovering around the middle on the season, and then you get down there to the bottom, and this team has, you know, scored this many and allowed a whole lot more. And you go, well, that makes tremendous logical sense. Same thing in a season basketball total, in a hockey, whatever. Texas Tech, we're 9-9, right? And in conference play, we're 9-9. We've scored 105 runs. We've allowed 104 runs. And the kind of, you know, these are really small sample sizes, but that's pretty telling.
If you ever get the chance, that's like the extended way of, if you ever get the chance and Jamie asks you, what do you need to win today? And you say, score more runs. He'll love it. He won't get mad at it at all. He won't roll his eyes out of his head.
Right. Sure.
Hey, gentlemen, another one in the books. We'll bow out, an hour early. Had fun. We'll be back at it at some point tomorrow, maybe slightly late show. 12 o'clock pitch tomorrow for Rangers against the Tigers. But that's what's coming up next. Game one of 4 in Detroit. For Gus, for Ben, have a great rest of your Monday. We will see you tomorrow afternoon.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT973.com.